My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the morning in his voice.
Morning, Patrick. Greg, how are you?
She suffered a fairly severe.
I mean, I'm good.
It's pretty graphic.
I think we're
justice.
I think we're days away from World War III.
Impossible.
We're getting close. I can tell you that.
It's not fun to watch.
I've had a lot of friends over in Israel. I got to enforce it to work intelligence for a while. It's.
Well, I just had David Wormser on. I'll have him back on again in an hour. But I did a 2.5 hour interview with him on Saturday, 11 hours after it started. And air raid sirens were going off. And towards the very end, I was like, you know, the Lord had given me prayer points and I was starting to pray. And as I began to pray, the sirens went off over his building and he had to run downstairs into the basement, into the shelter. And at that time, the building that his son normally would be living in took a direct missile hit and was destroyed.
Took over our country.
I'll tell you, you know, it's, we play a big part in that, you know, arms from Ukraine, the arms from Afghanistan.
Oh yeah,
that's where Hamas is getting it all from.
Well, and the $6 billion that we gave Iran that they're using to fund Hamas.
Yeah, they're paying for it. Iran's paying for it,
and now
the military equipment.
And now they're firing in from Lebanon.
Yeah,
my heart was pounding.
David and I were just talking about it. So you know that you've got the Gaza front. And the atrocities, I mean, the way in which they killed, they didn't just shoot these people. They didn't just kill them.
They did.
Oh, there was a woman, a soldier that I saw the video of, they pulled out. Her pants were dripping with blood.
Haven't
been able to destroy
her. As they threw her into the back seat to continue torturing her.
Right.
Her hands, her arms... I mean, she was just, you know, her chest, she was covered in blood.
Yep. Yeah, you know, the only thing I'm trying to figure out, Greg, is I know their intelligence system, and I can't believe they didn't pick this one up ahead of time. Something else is...
Well, David said that what they think is that there was a cyber op either by the CCP or by Iran that took out their communication system.
Yeah, now that's conceivable.
That's what they think took place, and then the other piece to this was is they were overconfident. They didn't really want to believe what they were. They were in these kibbutzes, in these communities. There were terrorists in the communities already living there, just like we have here. And that's what I want to focus on when we talk here in just a second about Boston, because Boston is an epicenter for radical terrorist emotions.
Everything is filtered through biblical glasses.
It's all over the
and
country,
now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Okay, hang on a second. We're 10 seconds out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
No, that's right. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. 4 seconds coming in. All quiet on the set. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Well, I just noticed, so our recording side, you picked up all that great intel, and you should, by the way. There's nothing that Michael and I talked about in the green room that we don't want everyone to know and everyone to be aware of. And I have to tell you, and this is, you know, I wrote this on my Facebook page. And I'm just going to go ahead and, well, it didn't give me my page, but that's okay. Now I'm acting as me. Facebook decided to make me act as somebody else. So let me just very quickly, if I could, and then I want to get right to what we're, but this is a part of it. Let's see, keep going. We're almost there. Okay. So yesterday I was posting a comment in support of Israel with my friend Aaron Wolf, who's a producer in Hollywood and a gentleman that I've had on the program and just a wonderful Jewish friend. Prayer for Israel. After posting, I saw a comment above mine. I saw an imam post that in Mecca this year, a prophecy was released that this is a winter of Sakhar coming, which is to say death to infidels. It is set to take full hold 12/21/23. But he said, these are the birthing pains and the entire world will be consumed by followers of Allah in fire and death. He called it a summer heat released in winter. I'm sharing this to prepare us that we're facing end time biblical prophecy. And then I talk about, you know, John chapter 3. In 1974 in California, there were many rumors of wars and earthquakes seemed to occur almost weekly, and so many signs that many were left nearing the end, feeling it was near the end. One great question stirred, and several rapture films attempted to answer it. How in the world would there be so many beheadings? These films inserted guillotines to answer the question. I have over the years, I'm now in my 60s, asked the same question. I now fully believe that I have the answer. In the last 10 years, I began to see Islamic terrorists beheading their captives. As they continue their evil, it has become clear this is fulfilling Revelations, which says those beheaded will be given a special place in the millennial 1,000 years. I tell you, folks, there's and the intel reports, and I'm going to bring my next guest on who has been involved in the intelligence community. And I welcome to the program again, Michael Letts with Invest USA. Michael, we've had intel reports. I'm on several different streams. Dr. Wormser is getting intel. We have people on our stream that are a part of this that are getting information that clearly suggests that the Muslims are preparing an assault all across the country. Well, this country, but I'm all around the world, literally. This is the ignition of the fire.
Well, they started their planning. This is, again, not happenstance. This has been a well-orchestrated and planned movement by Iran and the Muslim community, the Muslim Brotherhood, for years. And one of the things that they realized that they were going to be able to do is it's going to be very difficult for them to really engage if they have only their assets in their country. So they begin this great migration. And you saw that across Europe. You've seen that happening in America. You see, we don't have any migration in America. Oh, we've got an open border. We've got more migration in America than what the media would ever let you believe. And they have migrated their dissidents, and they've migrated their theology, their ideology, all across Europe and all across America. We're just not aware of it the way we should be. And they did that not because they didn't have room for them there. They needed to expand and get a little better place. They did that to position them so that they could now begin what you saw happening over the weekend in Gaza. And this is the beginning. Of course, you know, they're going to go after their most hated target, which is Israel. But guess who's the second most hated? We're right beneath that list, and that's the U.S., and they have for some time now, for the last 2.5 years, especially with the Biden administration, been pouring across the border. We know for a fact that there are over 10,000 on the terrorist watch list alone that we identified coming across. That means, when I say we identified, that means we captured them. But what did the Biden administration do? Did they do what they should have done and immediately sent them back? No. Even though they were on the terrorist watch list, they said, look, we're going to make a determination whether you can stay in this country later. We don't have the ability to do that now. So here's a free phone. Here's a telephone number. Tell us where you want to go. We'll send you to that part of the United States. When you get settled, call this number and ask them for a court date, and then we'll determine whether you're eligible to stay or not. Of course, we all know, Greg, that when they did that, they didn't make the telephone call, and they didn't stay where they were dropped off at. We have lost track of over 10,000 on the terrorist watch list. They're all across this country now. I want your listeners to understand, the 10,000 we're talking about are the people that we caught. It is estimated, Greg, that 90% of those crossing we don't catch.
Right.
So, you know, you're talking about 10,000 of a 10% catch. That just goes to show you how mind-boggling it is. We know for a fact it's not just on the terrorist watch list. We know that the Chinese, we've got over 40,000 Chinese military age. And yeah. I tell people this, you need to understand, China has the largest women's military as well. So just because it's Chinese women and men doesn't mean that they're not military trained and military capable of creating havoc at the appropriate time.
You also were also
the fact that they're in Panama.
You were also, real quick, I'll let you get to that, but you were also mentioning, you know, just so folks get a perspective, again, talking about the Islamic migration, that actually has a name. It's called Hijra. And Hijra is the Islamic war strategy using immigration as a means to overwhelm a country. And again, you know, as my good friend Bill Federer has outlined, and we've talked about it for years, and, you know, my very first guest that I ever had on my program was Peter Hammond, right. You know, just an absolute, you know, I mean, he has been warning about this for 30 years, trying to get people to understand.
He did it very well, have we, Greg?
I'm sorry?
We haven't heeded it very
no.
well, warning, have we?
No. Islam, or it's Terrorism, Slavery, and Islam, I believe is the name of the book. And right. and the interesting thing about that book, folks, if you're looking for a glossary to understand this, everyone who's writing books uses information from Peter's book in their synopsis as they write, all of them. There are pieces of Peter's book, and then they develop a larger or a broader story, but they all, every single one of them, I don't know any of them where that have written, even Waleed. Waleed borrows from Peter Hammond's research and then expands on it, which is great. I mean, you know, Robert Spencer is a friend of mine. Jihad Watch, you know, that. But Peter Hammond is the expert. He really is.
Well, you know, we learned a lot from him. I mean, we just haven't heeded his warnings. Nope. I do want to take this opportunity, based to your listeners, what they are seeing occurring in Gaza now, the tactics they use. Of course, we saw those tactics in Afghanistan and in Iraq. You know, ISIS perfected those tactics. There's a reason behind those tactics. They base their strategy on intimidation and fear, the greatest amount of fear that they can do. And so to just shoot somebody really does not give them the effect they're looking for. So they make sure that they go to great lengths to torture, to disengage and disembowel, whatever they don't want to do, to their victims, to send a message, and they record it, to send a message to the rest of the populace that you have two options. You either convert to Islam or you're next. And quite frankly, you know, this is not the first time America has been engaged in a conflict with Muslim. You know, right. 100 years ago, we did the same thing. And quite frankly, I think it's time that we recognize, instead of having these liberal, leftist, communistic ideology, that we're all one big brotherhood and we all love each other and respect each other. You can't respect somebody, Greg, whose very philosophy and ideology says that we have to kill anybody that doesn't believe the way we do. And that's what the Quran says, is death to the infant. Yep. And unless, and I tell people this, it's not being, you know, anti-Islam. The Islamic people who want to stand up and say we reject that theology, we do not believe in death to the infant. I haven't found one yet, Greg, that's willing to do that. But until they do that, we need to consider them with who they are, and they're their enemy combatants.
Well, and you know, I had Al Rasuli on my program for you know, quite a long time. And if you go to my Spreaker page and you search A-L-R-A-S-S-O-O-L-I, Al Rasuli, you'll see. I mean, he outlines in the Quran, point by point, exactly what you're saying. He's even offered a $2 million reward to any imam that will come on and debate him and disprove what he says, predicated on their own writings, their own history. He just reads what they say back to them, the Quran and the Hadith and what it says, and then he says, okay, so dispute this. And they don't. They can't dispute it. Now, you know, one of the good pieces of good news is there are thousands of imams that are having visions of Jesus Christ and are converting to Christianity. And we thank God for all of that. We truly do. And my prayer that I prayed with David, which is posted, and you can, I would encourage you to just play it and pray along with it. If you want to play it and listen to it first to make sure that you think that it is alignment with your system of belief, that's great. But once you've done that, I think you'll find that it is, because I'm praying the word. And then I encourage you to pray it with me. And I would suggest at this point, daily, because folks, there is a darkness that is afoot, and it is not only in Israel, but it's here in the United States, and that's part of the prayer that I pray, is that the darkness will be broken. I pray that terror will fill the hearts of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and those that are coming against our country, not in an evil way, but that terror will come upon them and the fear of God will cause them to drop to their knees and turn from their wicked ways and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and pursue biblical truth. That's my prayer. Michael, we want to talk about, I don't want you to get away without us talking about what happened in Boston, because it's significant. And number of years ago, and I'm not going to remember the name of the organization right now, but there's an organization, and it's funny, they used a term that would make someone think, oh, this is that maybe they're liberal, or but they're not. But at any rate, they were in Boston trying to get the Boston Police Department to pay attention to the mosques before the Boston Marathon bombing. And they were over and over again. And of course, the FBI, John Gundola, reported on this and they got after him. But my dear friend, Phil Haney, who I still believe was murdered. I'm the pastor that he literally talked to 3 days before he was killed. I'm the pastor that he talked to, and not the FBI, not the Department of Justice, not Homeland Security, not even the local sheriffs. No one has interviewed me. You know that? No one.
Doesn't surprise me, Greg.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all either, because they're covering up a murder. Anyway, so Michael, to that point, Boston has been an epicenter for radical Islam, quote unquote, and it's really not. It's not radical, it's following. They have been an epicenter for Islamic teachings that go from peaceful religion past the political and into the military and the militant, which is what Bill Federer talks about with the progression. Talk to me about why it's so dangerous that Boston's city council has decided to underfund the police.
Well, we're seeing this as a trend all across America, especially in the liberal cities, Boston being one. You know, New York has an epicenter for Islamic mosque and Islamic teachings. Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, other places where you see a strong movement afoot to defund the police. And why is the reason behind defunding the police? Because they want to make sure that they are successful when it comes time to terrorize the American people. You remember I told you we've had all of these cells that have crossed the border. They're all across the country. And quite frankly, the FBI, who instead of putting conservatives as listed domestic terrorists and trying to go after MAGA supporters, should be utilizing their intelligence to go after a true threat of extreme terrorism that is crossing on our border. But they don't do that. And they specifically don't do that because of what you said, Greg. They specifically are trying to cover what this administration is attempting to do, and it's going to hurt every one of the Americans that's listening today.
What can we do in response to what they're doing? What should Americans be doing, Michael, in your opinion, relative to, I guess, getting themselves ready? Because I think that, right? I mean, what you're saying is this war that we see over in Israel and these underfundings of police and all these different elements are really gelling together to create one specific scenario. What is that, and how do we respond?
Well, that one specific scenario is what this administration has been attempting to do for the last few years, and that is the total destruction of America and her freedoms. And how do we go about countering that? We have a number of things that we need to be doing as the American people. First and foremost, we have to realize that the thin blue line, and I'm talking about the thin blue line being state and local. I'm not talking about federal law enforcement. State and local are being decimated and are being attempted to be destroyed. So we have to show our support shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters in blue and tell them that we support them and make sure they have the necessary equipment that they can do the job. And the second thing we need to do is we need to make sure we as Americans have the necessary equipment to back them up. What do I mean by that? Every American should make sure that they're armed and know how to use it and make sure they have whatever permits are necessary to accomplish that. But make sure that you are armed and that you know how to use it, because the time is coming very quickly. You will be called upon. It won't be the military. It won't be law enforcement. It will be overwhelmed. You will be being called upon to help provide the safety for you, your family, and your community. And if we don't train and make sure that we're available to do that now, we'll get caught off guard. And then, of course, the third thing we need to do is just what you're doing, Pastor Greg. I'm so honored to be on your show, is we have to educate the American people. Enough is enough. We have seen enough weaponization and politicalization of our federal agencies. We've seen an administration that is attempting to make sure our borders stay open so that terrorism can be spread to this country. We have to realize what has happened to Gaza over the weekend is very likely to happen here. And we have to make sure that we start demanding accountability for those who have authority over these actions. You know, it's time for a military tribunal for our country to hold people accountable. The military has got to step in, because we have an administration that's corrupt. We've seen that with Joe Biden's receiving in donations. I shouldn't say donations, in payments from various governments, Ukraine, China, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen DOJ obstruct justice and lie to Congress. We've seen the FBI utilize their forces to terrorize school boards, school members, people are trying to defend their children. We've seen them terrorizing conservatives. It is time that we, the American people, realize that we are in a war and we are under attack. And if we don't rally and band together and do something about it, we're going to lose. And then the final thing I would say, Pastor Young, is what you alluded to earlier with your prayer. We need to understand that we will not win this victory unless we are making sure that we have God's might and power. And it's time for America to repent of the wayward ways, the removal of God, the despicable things that we as a society have condoned in the past, abortion, et cetera. Repent and ask for God's forgiveness and ask for God's intervention. Those four things will cause this country to survive and to be free once again.
I guess the next question, or the final question, is you know, I know there's always a sense of hope. Obviously, with God, all things are possible. But I think that people are you know, exhausted. Many. I mean, I just even a few years ago, I had Tea Party patriots that said to me, you know, Pastor, we've been hammering at this at that point for 4 or 5 years. And they were like, you know, we can't seem to get people engaged. We can't seem to get people involved. They're, you know, it's just, you know, it's like we're talking to a stone wall. What would you say to those people who are feeling somewhat discouraged because they still feel like nobody's listening?
I would tell them, first of all, that's a natural feeling. We all feel that way. But I would also remind them of history. I'm just talking about the American history. You know, there was a time when we first started the revolution that things didn't look very positive. We were fixing to be crushed. There are times in World War II when the Japanese first invaded, first bombed Pearl Harbor. You know, they took island after island, just swept across. We didn't have any engagement in Europe. It did not look very favorable for the American people. And that we can, almost every battle, every war that this country has been involved with has had episodes in times like that where things just looked like we were fixing to fail, lose. But God miraculously intervened every time because God's people prayed. So I would encourage people to do two things. I understand, and I quite frankly have some of the same feelings sometimes. Is it worth it? Are we going to be able to win this thing? Well, God doesn't call us to make the decision whether we're going to win or not. God calls us to be good stewards. And God calls us to fight the fight. He is responsible for the outcome. And so as long as we acknowledge that and acknowledge that our strength comes from him, we can rest assured that the ultimate victory will succeed. I mean, Scripture says we're ultimately going to win either way you look at it. It's up to God whether to grant America more time or not. But it's up to us to determine that we're going to be good stewards of what God commands us to do, that we will stand for truth, and we will, regardless of discouragement, we will look to another day and make sure that we give God our 110%, and that's all he asked for.
Well, and I, you know, one of the things that I will add to that as we're discussing it is, and I do this in the prayer, and that is, folks, we need to repent. Okay. The word says, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance. And America right now has so much innocent blood on her hands. We continue to kill the most innocent amongst us. We have states that celebrate murdering babies. We have states that celebrate sodomizing children. There's one place in Scripture, and I apologize. I don't remember exactly who it was who specifically said it this way, but Michael might even have been you. But it's the one place where Jesus goes mafioso, and I'm right. Italian. And that is when it comes to the children. And he flat says, listen, you touch one of my kids, I'm going to hang a millstone around your neck and drop you in the sea.
Correct.
And then when I'm done with that, then I'm going to toss you into the fires of hell and your skin's going to burn off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your eternity. Yes. You better stop it.
And God has given us that warning, Pastor Greg, and it's time that we as a nation heed that warning. And it's time that we as a nation, the biggest thing that I want to encourage your listeners is you've heard this before. I'm asking you to take it to the next step. Instead of just hearing it, you have to become engaged. You have to do something about it. Little things that I gave that you can do.
30 seconds.
Every day. You can tell officers you support them. Stand for truth by God's grace. We know we will succeed.
Amen. Amen. Michael, thank you for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. It's always a joy to have you with me. Folks, I'll have this interview up. You can catch it. Go to the Children Generation Radio website, childrengenerationradio.com. Click on Show Archives. Click on New videos and audio, and the very first link will be our Rumble page, and this video will be up probably here in the next 10 or 15 minutes. Nan Sue joins me next. We're going to talk about the CCP, the pending. There's a lot of conversation. China's on the verge of a financial collapse, and one of the things that was in this imam's prophecy is the death of Xi Jinping, which I think is interesting. And it goes to a hypothesis that I have that I'll share in our next segment, that I think you'll find interesting. And I believe it's from God. We'll be back. More Children Generation Radio coming up right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the program my very good friend from the Epoch Times, Nathan Nansu. Nan, welcome. Great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Greg, for having me today.
Just again to remind you folks, we had David with us last hour for about a 30-minute interview, and that interview is now up on our Children Generation Radio Show Rumble page, but we will have David joining us again here in about 25 minutes with more updates and more insight into what's taking place over in Israel, the war. It appears that within hours from now, we're going to have Israel will be at war on three fronts. And we'll describe for you all of that. There is an assault continuing in Gaza, but Lebanon and now Syria are both joining in to the fight. And there is attacks coming from both Syria and Lebanon to go along with the attacks from Gaza. So that's a three-front fight that Israel is in right now. And to that end, Nan, you know, there's a lot. I'm going to throw a hypothesis out to you for you, because I'd like your analysis with regards to it. And then we'll talk about, you know, because it leads us into the conversation we want to have about Xi Jinping and the CCP and their finances. But and I've run this by a couple of other intel folks. America is right now, you know, kind of insulated. We've had some terrorist activity, but there's some insulation because the terrorists are working with the cartels. They collect drug money here. They collect they're helping pump in along with the CCP the fentanyl that's hitting our streets. They're hugely involved in the human trafficking, so they're getting a lot of money from that. Their networks get a lot of funding out of the activity they engage in here in the United States. Xi Jinping is in trouble economically. He's got a terrorist problem that nobody really talks about. But I think he's trying to woo them and say, hey, come on over here to China. You can do the same kinds of transactions over here. No problem. We'll let you have free reign and pull them out of the United States in order to insulate himself and maybe prop up his finances.
Well, it's true. Earlier this year, there have been a report from, let's just give you an example, from Italy, that the Italian government's been conducting investigation after Chinese mafia in Italy. The investigation was, during the investigation, they have found that a Chinese regime made a deal with the Chinese mafia outside of China. And the deal was the Chinese regime will allow all these Chinese mafia outside of China to go to China to do business either legally or illegally. But as the return, all these Chinese mafia outside of China will help Chinese government to do things that Chinese government it's not legitimate to do.
Okay.
In the Western world, so there are those things going on. Personally, in my view, the Chinese government, it's the biggest terrorist group in the world.
Sure. Well, I think absolutely. And it would make some sense. Now, one of the prophecies that was in that it too, though, is that the Muslims are saying that Xi Jinping is going to be bit by his own biological COVID weapon. And somehow that's going to that may end up taking him out. But we want to talk about the financial side of this as well. And I'd like you to bring in the fact that we have a contingent of American legislators and lawmakers that are over there now as well. And it's interesting, the timing of them being over there. We know the CCP is working with Iran, and we know Iran is funding Hamas. So how do all those pieces connect?
Well, China has a formal diplomatic relation with Hamas, you know. So Hamas, you know, that's it's always been there. And China, with all different terrorist group, you know, they have for example, Taliban. Taliban has been sending their fighters, military officials to China to receive military training for decades, you know, more than a decade. And then you know, China have all these relation with Iran. Of course, 2021, March of 2021, China signed a deal with Iran that China was going to provide like $400 billion dollars economic aid in the following 25 years to Iran. As a return, Iran will provide a constant oil supply to China. So it's there. The relations being very close now. The news I heard yesterday was there are like thousands, I don't know how many thousands, all these numbers, you know, they don't really give you. Some of say 5,000, some of say 2,000, but you know, basically has a thousands of rockets and drones. Now in the last year of Ukraine war, we have learned that there was a lot of drones provided to Russian military by Iran. Those the parts of those drones were made in China, and then they send those parts to Iran, and Iran assembled them and gave to Russia. Okay. So how much that the Chinese regime involved in this, I think it deserves a very in-depth investigation.
Well, and the implication of China's involvement in this attack against Israel, as you said, you know, via Iran, maybe even now, you know, as you've discussed the direct relationship between China and Hamas, there seems to be there's no question then that they're involved. The other piece to this is the United States. You've got military hardware from both Ukraine and Afghanistan now that has been identified as being used by Hamas against Israel as well. I guess when we look at this on the grander scale or on the larger scale, how would Xi Jinping push the button, or is he in the place to be in control to push the button to start a world war? People are talking about domino effects. If Israel is being overrun, they're going to have to use potentially a nuclear response, strategic but nonetheless nuclear. There's conversation then that if they do that, then that's going to trigger multiple reactions. Your thoughts?
It's quite possible. I would say that's a serious concern. Now, what I have been saying for years that the China, Russia, and Iran, you know, they're quickly forming a new continental power. You know, there's other countries quickly joining all these three regimes, you know, like Belarus, North Korea, Taliban government in Afghanistan, and several other countries in the Middle Asia. Now, what are they going to do? That's a very interesting thing to see. Now you have Russia that's pushing towards to the West. Now you have Iran leading the attack against Israel. Now, at the same time, is China going to do anything? China's Xi Jinping already made a clear order to the Chinese military, and he asked the Chinese military to be fully ready, you know, fully ready to annex Taiwan by the year of 2027. So, and in the recently, the provocative military behavior in Taiwan Strait, around Taiwan, Japan Sea, and near South Korea, you know, it's been going on for many months. So, are they going to do anything? That's a serious concern.
Now, the other piece is the insecurity of the finances in China as well. As a backdrop to all this, they're doing a lot of building, but all these buildings are empty. There's nobody in them. It seems as though the economy is somewhat imploding. What's the cause of that? And how do you see Xi Jinping responding to that?
Well, China's economy is on its way going down. The China's real estate industry is at some people say it's in the bottom. I will say it's in the bottom, but I don't see it has seen the bottom yet. Mm-hmm. It's probably continue to go down. If you say it's already bottom, that I don't know. At least I don't know when it's going to come back. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. We don't know because last week, the former, retired former deputy director of China's National Audit Bureau actually said that China had enough enough housing units to house 3 billion people. Now, think about this. China had like a, you know, over 10 billion, which is less than a total population of India. India is 1.4 billion, a little bit over, actually, a little bit over 1.4 billion. You know, what that means is they can ship or have entire Indian population move to China, and they still have no problem to house all these people. So, you can see the situation over there. Now they have been using the real estate industry and construction industry really driving their economic growth. So now that part is gone. And recently there have been a report from Wall Street that China's total debt, like their national debt and the local government's debt plus their, you know, their company's debt altogether is more than 50 trillion.
Their debt is 50 trillion.
Yeah, more than 50 trillion. Okay. Now, China's national GDP was last year is like about 17, 18 trillion. So, at the same time, their economic engine it's kind of like turning off. So, what's going to happen? We don't know. But to me, it certainly makes the regime more dangerous because there will be a lot of internal tensions, you know, social conflicts taking place in the coming years.
And to your point, I mean, part of that is, I mean, whenever you wound, a dangerous predator, that wounded predator becomes that much more potentially dangerous, right? They lash out. They do those. I mean, we're watching China, and a lot of people aren't paying attention to this, but we're watching China trying to basically call due on the Belt and Road Initiative, the countries that accepted Belt and Road Initiative dollars and contracts and what have you, China's attempting to call those debts due in an effort to try to uphold its finances in some way. And then you were on with me not long ago when we talked about the shutdowns that they'd done over there, claiming another, COVID release or a new round of SARS or what have you, and they were trying to shut communities down and close people in. These are all signs, right, of a failing system. Am I reading that right? Am I reading those leaves correctly?
Yeah, they have. China's economy has been off the peak and on its way going down the hill. They facing many problems. In real estate industry is just one side of the problem. And also their exports are declining. And the foreign investments are leaving China because of the escalating the geopolitical risk. And they're... China is officially entered deflation, because back in July, their CPI was negative. In August, in September, it's like a 0.1. I think that number is made up, and they are. It's 0.1 positive, right?
Right, right.
And then they have in July, that's in July. In June that the China's young people's unemployment rate, young people meaning age 16 to 25, was about 21% unemployment rate. And wow. That's why in July, then Chinese government say we're not going to publish those numbers anymore. So right. we don't have those numbers since July.
If we don't publish the numbers, it doesn't exist. It never happened.
Yeah, yeah, and then China has been this year. They have been surge on the American and other foreign corporations that have business operations in China, and arrest Chinese employees of foreign companies. So there's
They've arrested them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why in July the State Department actually made an announcement issue warning to Americans and ask all Americans who plan to travel to China reconsider their travel plan.
So why is Schumer over there right now? What are they doing over there?
I have no idea. I just read the news that Schumer, it's a Senate group, three Republicans and three Democrats are visiting Beijing right now. The news just came out just a few hours ago. I don't know why they're there. It's no idea.
Interesting. Well, I wonder if it's connected to their relationship with Hamas and Iran in an attempt to try to dissuade them from supporting those entities. We'll have to watch that and see. Another thing you just mentioned was the population thing. I want to get this in really quick because China has a shrinking population. There's a lot of conversation about the fact that sometime in the next 20 to 25 years, if we're all still here and it all lasts that long, that China is going to be down nearly in half from where they are right now. Some of the estimates are 400,000 and 500,000 versus the 1.2 million that are in the country right now. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, China's really have these elder, these age issues for the population. Chinese population that's over 65, it's like close to 15%. That's really considered really old by UN standard, and their age, the population age 60 and over is close to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having these issues. This is a long-term issue, but this only tells us a long-term, like maybe 30, 40 years later,
right,
if we keep our China policy in the right direction, really look at China as a threat, and then we are alert on whatever the actions taken by the regime. Now, the problem is short term. We are it's in the most dangerous time window. It's, within next 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Regime's economy is off its peak, on its way going down, but it still has a lot of capacity. What if they decide to do anything sooner than later? What's going to happen? That's really the concern we need to do.
And historically speaking, and we did this ourselves, they all manufacturing has shifted to China. That's just a reality. They have all of the essential elements that are necessary for the production. They've captured that. We don't. We can't flip a switch like we did in the 1930s and 1940s and turn our manufacturing plants into munitions plants like we did back then and churn out, the ability to be able to fight these fights. It's going to take us a lot longer to turn that around. They can flip the switch tomorrow. Historically speaking, that has been an economic way in which countries whose economies are struggling will find a means. They'll basically turn to war as a means to put their people to work and create some kind of economy. Is that a possibility? Is China potentially ready to gear up for this world war that folks are kind of nervously talking about now in light of the Israel situation? China would seem to be very well prepared manufacturing-wise to turn these plants into munitions plants and so forth.
Well, yes, China, it's now the Department of Defense said China has the largest navy in the world. And that's what DOD report says, by counting on the total number of warships. This is the measure they use. If you're counting on the total number of warships in Chinese Navy, China has the largest Navy in the world. U.S. Navy have 290 warships. China have 330 right now by the year of 2025, which is not really far from us.
Yeah.
China will have 400 warships by the year of 2030. China will have 460. So why they are so quickly expanding their Navy, you know, it's been spending money like crazy. Now,
right.
Keep in mind, China is the largest shipbuilding nation in the world. Last year, more than 50% of the global shipbuilding order went to China.
Okay.
So that China really have the capacity to quickly expand it, the size of its Navy. Now, why are they doing that? If their economy is in such a deep trouble, why are they spend so much money building warships?
Right.
And also they have a more land-based nuclear launch device than United States.
Yep.
And they have now back in the middle of August 16th, DOD issued a report. It's a biodefense gesture review.
Okay.
And that report says United States is at a pivotal moment facing unprecedented multi-domain biowar threat from China, Russia, and North Korea. And China was the number one threat. That's from the Department of Defense.
Okay.
So think about all those things, so what it means to the United States.
Folks, you know, what we need to do, and the reason I bring this to you, and Nan, thank you so much for being here today and walking us through this. It's so important that we have this information. Number one, so we can reach out and you know, talk to our representatives and address this and speak to them intelligently about these issues. But also, folks, from a prayer point, as a believer, literally, there is an evil and a darkness that is at work, and it is behind so much of what is happening, and it's manifesting itself in real time. And we need to be aware of these dangers so that we can be prepared and be praying against them being used as weapons against us. Nan, final thoughts, about 30 seconds. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want us to make sure we know?
Well, I would recommend everyone to lock online and just Google, very easy, Google The Final War. The Final War, it's a newly released documentary by the Epoch Times. It talks about 100-year plan of the Chinese communist regime. They want to take down the United States as the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
At 100-year anniversary, that's 2049, because the Chinese communist regime took over control of China in 1949. Ever since then, they have a 100-year plan to take down the United States.
And there you go, folks. That's if you're a person of prayer, that's a prayer point right there. To basically unwind and destroy those plans of the enemy. That's part of our prayer. Nan, thank you for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg, for having me.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We come back. You'll be tuned in to Texas Fully Loaded on TECN-TV. That's Texas Fully Loaded on TECN-TV. I'll be signing off today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Stay tuned for more great programming on your favorite station. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, "What did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.